And welcome to the DecimalProds.com Anime and Manga Podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by $6 shirts. Crazy shirts for crazy cheap. All t-shirts on there cost only $6, and you can get any 10 for only $50. Head over to $6 shirts by clicking the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site and get yourself some awesome, funny shirts. While our shirts are not as awesome or funny or cheap, we do have our own. So head over to DecimalProds.com/store and check them out. As always, we are accepting t-shirt design art. If you have a design idea, we'd love to hear it, but unfortunately won't be able to pay you. If you have art and we like it and we make it into a shirt, then we will be paying you, depending on how well that shirt sells. Anyway, so send your art to bovi1@DecimalProds.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. Like I said, if we like it, we'll make it into a shirt, and we will pay you based on how well that shirt sells. Purdy will be given to DecimalProds jokes or references or something, but if you just have some art you think we'd like, please don't hesitate to send it our way. So, I'm your host, The Dead Man. Join me today, we have Bovi1.
Hello.
And Pudgetron.
Hi.
Great intro, just...
Yeah. I'm gonna die.
Just... Hey.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so, anime and manga. We're here to talk about that. We're here to have it, Bo. Sorry, I didn't get much sleep last night.
Well, I haven't gotten much sleep all week, so...
Yeah, but you're a university student. You're used to not getting sleep. What's my excuse? I don't work. I don't go to school. I spend all my time on a computer. Anywho.
Well, I'd say you pretty much don't have an excuse for not sleeping.
Exactly. Probably all the Diet Pepsi. Anywho.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anime and manga. Fuck. That's the problem. Yeah, this is a trend, but I'm going to go first because I only have one thing to talk about.
Woo.
Probably going to be short.
Yeah.
So anywho, I have started reading a new manga. It is only 5 chapters deep, so anyone who wants to get in on it, you still can. Well, and you won't have a lot to catch up on. It's called Spirit Circle. So there's a guy in high school. His name is Fuda. He is an ordinary kid. Except he has this weird birthmark on his cheek that he covered up with a Band-Aid. Anyway, so anyway, this one day, a student transfers in named Coco, a girl, who has a huge scar on her forehead. And so she starts talking to Fuda, and they seem to get along relatively well, aside from the fact that she thinks he has a stupid name. But then she sees a birthmark on his face, which, like, she uncovers, and she's like, oh, fuck, you're my mortal enemy, I have to kill you, like, you have to pay for what you've done. And then she summons a giant ring, like a magic ring that has flames all over it, and hits him in the face with it. And then he goes back in time. Because, as it turns out, Fuda and Coco have actually... had a long history together through multiple lives. Like, they've been reincarnating and, like, dealing with each other for, like, centuries.
This very much reminds me of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, in which there's one character who has been killed by Arthur Dent in every single one of his reincarnations.
Yep.
But not purposely killed by Arthur Dent, accidentally. Accidentally killed by Arthur Dent every time.
Yeah, I haven't read the book.
Well, the one time wasn't so much an accident, but... Yeah, add insult to injury. He did kill his cousin, I think it was, as well.
Yeah, so... Anyway, and that's just the series. It's Coco and Fuda dealing with, like, everyday life shit, and then also all the shit that's happening with their past lives. Also, Fuda can see ghosts, like any kind of ghost. And so he has a ghost flying around called Rune, who was one of the people from like a previous life. I'm guessing his first one. And then Coco has a ghost flying her around called East, who is her dad. But like her previous dad is. It gets very confusing. So, yeah, so like they were originally... Like, their original lives, where they all, like, originated from, was... Fuda was a guy named Fortuna. Coco was a young girl. I can't remember her name. East was her father and Fortuna's disciple, and Rune was also Fortuna's disciple. So they were all like happy and together and shit, and then for some reason, something happened between Coco and Futa, and now Coco wants to kill Futa. Like we've only seen two of the backstories. One from like an ancient Mayan tribe, where Coco killed Futa's girlfriend and then cut off his head because, you know, Mayans. And then the other one was like from like the Dark Ages, where Coco was a witch and Futa was a member of the Knights Guard or something, and so he stabs her through the chest and then she burns him with the birthmark that he has. And so that's why he has that birthmark now, because it's actually a witch's curse. But yeah, it's a good series. I like it. It's got a really cool premise. I like the idea of reincarnation, and this is treating it really coolly. With Coco just holding on to the past of, like, we are enemies, we have to kill each other, and Futa just trying to move on from it. Like, even though, like, any of the ghosts that he sees, like, anytime he, like, remembers a past life, one of his past lives show up and say, we can't forgive her. Like, when he remembered the Mayan one, his actually, like, Mayan self showed up with, like, blood dripping down from his neck. It's like, I will never forgive her, we have to kill her. And he just tells him to shut up. So it is cool seeing him trying to defeat his own fate while Coco is trying to just give into it. The art's pretty good. It's nicely like the juxtaposition between the like slice of life stuff that's happening in the main story and everything else that's happening in the other stories. So yeah, it's worth checking out, I think.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be up at least a couple of my alleys. As my alleys are wide and many.
Okay. I don't want to hear.
And I'm realizing now that sounds like some sort of innuendo.
Yeah, I really don't want to hear about your wide alleys. So yeah. Anyway, Spirit Circle. Check it out. It's only, like I said, it's only 5 chapters in, so it's real low barrier to entry. And yeah, check it out. So, Punchatron, what have you been watching and/or reading?
All right, it's all reading today. All reading, although hopefully all three, actually. I kind of want to see all three in anime form, but this one, Witchcraft Works, I already wrote an article about.
Yeah, which we're getting into in news.
Yes, which is becoming an anime, so.
Oh, great, you spoiled the news.
Oh, money.
Spoilers, man.
Great, the entire thing got down the chute, okay, they were shutting down the site. I just hit the kill switch.
I mean, I don't think anyone else has been able to spoil the podcast yet.
Congratulations, Budgetron.
Yes! First place victory.
So this was your plan?
Yeah. I am out to ruin the site.
I knew you agreed to do this too easily.
But yeah, Witchcraft Works. It follows Takamiya Honoka, who's naturally an ordinary, perfectly ordinary high school student, who just happens to sit next to Kagure Ayaka, the most popular girl in school by leaps and bounds. She literally has like an official position as the princess of the school. And basically, they sit next to each other in class, but they really don't talk to each other at all, because basically, if they have any kind of contact whatsoever, her fan club assaults him frequently, brutally.
Well, yeah, it's like, didn't the fan clubs at your high school do that? I know ours did.
But it would at least appear that she couldn't care less for his presence. Like, it's just, he's there. I'm sort of cordial to him.
Yeah.
That's basically the way it is. And at least that's how it is until his school's clock tower falls on him. And Kagari rescues him on a flying broom. And she elaborates on the situation as would be necessary if that were ever to happen.
Wait, let me guess. Let me guess. She's a member of Dust Force.
No.
Damn it.
No, not none whatsoever. No. Wrong.
I hope this was like a, I was thinking this was like a cross media like tie in that the Hitbox team did with whoever made this manga.
No.
If only.
She reveals that she is a witch.
Oh, okay, that makes
witch.
That makes more sense.
And she has basically received it is her she's basically been bodyguarding him for as long as they don't really go into the exact time frame how long it's been, but she's been sort of guarding him from the shadows, so to speak. I did air quotes again. from the shadows. And now, since she's revealed herself, she figures, hey, you know what? Screw the Soul Shatters thing. You're not leaving my side. And that's sort of how it goes. There's people out to get him for, to get Takamiya for whatever reason that will, that they've revealed, but I'm not going to do it here because that would be spoilers. and she just is there to protect him. And it's funny, and it's, it does get odd. Like, she's sort of a, it's revealed later that she is literally, like, made of fire.
Oh, okay.
And is effectively invulnerable. Except she's got sort of an empathetic thing with Takamiya, so if you hurt him, she gets the same injury. And, yeah, it, you know, standard bodyguard magic kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's good. I really enjoyed it. I hadn't heard of it before I actually wrote that article. Is coming up in news, so stay tuned.
What was the point? You already spoiled the news.
But yeah, it's good. I enjoy it. It's fun. It's different. Honestly, I haven't really seen a whole lot of this kind of thing for a while anyway. A good seinen romance action manga thing.
Yeah, you don't really hear a lot of seinen romance action mangas that aren't horribly messed up or depressing.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that is a frequent thing. But check it out. Witchcraft Works. Go now. Huzzah. Wait, not now. Say this thing.
Wait until the show's over.
Yeah. Wait until we're done. And then you can go and write this down. Witchcraft Works.
Yeah. Just look for it in news. You'll find it.
Exactly.
Anywho. Yeah.
Okay. This is another seinen one that I found, which is more an everyday comedy action thing. There's no romance unless it gets really weird from where it is. Unless it goes completely on a tangent. Anyway. But basically, it's called One Punch Man. As it tells the story of the average everyday hero of the same name, One Punch Man, who finishes every single fight in a single punch.
Okay. No,
and think an apathetic Think of a person with Superman's strength, who's completely just apathetic and bored about this sort of menial task he has to do, and just goes full out all the time. So he frequently kills people.
That sounds awesome.
And it's just like, he's just bored because he wins every single fight. Regardless.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It's a weird thing. Honestly, it's really fucking weird. Yeah. Like, his origin story.
One day he fell from space, and then he got bored.
Not really. He's a normal person.
He's just a guy who can do this.
He was just a normal guy who was, for all intents and purposes, absolutely normal. And then they go into his origin story, which I can't quite recall at one point. I think some monster thing attacks, gets in his way or something. He's sort of a normal salaryman, and he just fights it. And, oh, it's a giant lobster thing, and it's really gruesome, actually, how he beats it. But
wait, so he's a salaryman?
Yes. Businessman.
Yeah, I've...
Standard businessman thing.
In my head, I was thinking high school student.
Nope.
Like, everything we're describing, I was like, okay, so he's a high school student, right?
You were thinking of a regular manga protagonist.
Yeah. Pretty much. Like how many... Like, thinking about most manga, how many of them really have a... Like, well, anyway, like, most, like, big kind of mainstream manga-ish things that, like, kind of come to the front of your mind when we... Well, front of my mind when I think about manga. How many of them have a non-high school student protagonist that has super strength?
Well, yeah, that's basically what it is. The sort of the go-to normal high school student is basically the manga term for proxy for the reader.
Yeah. Like, even insane and stuff, but supposed to be, like, for older people, it's still just... Hey, it's the first year of high school, then stuff.
Yeah.
Because everyone in Japan just remembers that, hey, yeah, when I was in high school, crazy shit happened.
Yeah, I remember that time I became a zombie and then I had to fight a giant whale in a ski uniform with a chainsaw.
Exactly.
Ah, Thursdays.
They probably remember some kid in their class trying to murder everyone.
Yeah, it was probably them. Just sitting there stabbing some chickens like, this really brings back memories. I don't know why my stabbing had a weird noise to it. I'm sorry for that. I'm usually much better at stabbing sound effects.
Like a box cutter. It was the clicking of extending the knife thing.
Okay, let's go with that.
But yeah, basically, One Punch Man is... It's really... Yeah. Gets his powers through no real supernatural means. He's just fighting this lobster guy, which I will not elaborate on.
Yeah, and, you know, no real supernatural element, just a lobster person.
No, he was really just got pissed off by this really annoying giant lobster guy who was looking for somebody because they made fun of him. The lobster guy was looking for, like, an elementary school kid who made fun of him because he looked like a lobster. And he's really very proud of being a lobster man.
So our lobster
kid and this guy goes, hey, you can't do that. And kind of, well, he wins. But basically, he goes into, there's no indication he did anything other than, quote unquote, normal training for a couple of years to become basically a perfect physical specimen who is absolutely invincible. And for some reason, he's bald. I don't know why he's bald. Because in the past, in his flashback origin story thing, he's not. But he's bald now, and that's never been explained, and it bothers me.
Maybe when he got his powers, he lost his hair.
That may be it.
You're like, we don't really know what kind of, like you said, we don't know what he went through to get his powers.
Yeah, and he does mention training, but no specifics on the training.
Yes, maybe it could be like a reverse Samson kind of thing.
Maybe that could be it.
Yeah. But that, yeah, that'd be where he just like wakes up, like his natural weakness is Rogaine. Let's picture that. Just like going to fight somebody and it's like, wait, stand back. I have your secret weapon. I have your weakness. Hair growth formula. It's like, oh God, no.
You know that stuff isn't instant, right?
Hey, this is a world with lobster people and regular training that turns into Superman. For all we know, they have instant hair growth stuff. or it could have been like specially engineered specifically for him.
It could be, I guess.
But would wigs work? Like if you put a wig on him, would that count as hair and then he'd lose his powers?
Only if you super glue it.
No idea if that is even his weakness, though. I have no idea.
Like someone tried to give him hair plugs, and it's like, oh God, no!
But just, you know, think uppers a bored with his powers guy with the physical prowess of Superman, who just wrecks everybody he gets into a fight with in one punch.
Yeah, that honestly sounds more interesting than Superman.
And it's all played for laughs. There are frequent gore explosions, and it's hilarious.
Yeah, that sounds 10 to 15 times more interesting than anything Superman has done.
One of the first villains he fights, he literally rips his eye out.
Does he rip his eye with a punch?
No.
He just rips his eye out.
And pulls it out. The fights are very short.
I think it would have been funnier if he had since he's one punch, just punched him so hard that the eye actually just like squished through the gap in his fingers and just went to his hand.
Yeah.
That's literally how he solves everything. It's like, hey, my car's a flat tire. Punch it.
He doesn't do that.
But my question is, has he ever punched a man out of his clothes?
But like a Charlie Brown on him?
I don't think so.
Charlie Brown?
Yeah, Charlie Brown. Like in Charlie Brown, whenever he like threw a baseball, the baseball would come flying back and it would hit him so hard his clothes would fly off.
Huh.
I remember that. That I didn't make that up. I don't care what people say. I remember that happening once.
I'll believe you because I didn't really watch Charlie Brown, so...
But yeah, it's funny. You should check it out. It's weird. Don't go in expecting a normal sort of superhero thing. That is not what you will be getting.
Yeah. Japan doesn't really have a normal superhero thing. Like, the closest that, like, for everything I've seen, the closest they come to a normal superhero thing is Ratman, and even that's kind of...
Yeah, that kind of turns it on its head.
Yeah.
The closest thing I've seen is Hero Man, and that's about a robot that got struck by lightning and now can turn into a big robot that's controlled by a kid. And yet he tells the kid what buttons to push to control him.
Yeah, a toy robot got struck by alien lightning, and then the kid gets super speed and can create shields, and when he gets super speed, he turns into the unicorn from Robot Unicorn Attack. And Stan Lee is in it.
Yeah.
Because, of course he's in it.
Because that's how it works.
Yeah. Anywho.
But yeah, on to the next one, which is the cream of the crop of my crop this edition. Because it's just one of those ones where it's just like, you would never see this coming out of any other fucking country.
And, okay, let's get into this.
Okay, so it's called Bright World Project. And it is brand spanking new. One chapter, like 2 days ago, was released on the site, at least the completely legal site I go to.
Yeah.
And
it's affiliated with completelylegaldownlink.com.
Yeah.
Buy your t-shirts now. Well, actually, design the t-shirts first, then go buy them.
But basically, in an attempt to combat the declining birth rate in Japan, the minister's aide, as in the prime minister's aide, I believe, his actual position is said, I just can't be bothered to look up, but I'm pretty sure it's the prime minister's aide, personal aide, comes up with a plan to encourage the Japanese youth to form relationships. So, in order to put a new policy into effect, they kind of need to go through a beta, so to speak. So, this beta is being held at this one high school, and the project is absolutely mandatory for all students. And basically, the students have to become intimate couples with other students, or they will be shot.
God.
Well, that would certainly stop all those couples you see in anime and manga who are like, oh, we like each other, but we won't say it, and we'll play coy, and blah, 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 we'll never get together, let's piss off the fans.
Yeah, there's
like
no, there could be no like tsundere-ing or just like bullshit fucking.
Which I thought of, you, so I like the way you look.
Yeah.
Sex now.
It's like, you pants lose them.
Yeah, and it's like the way you become all the students.
Drop your pants if you want to leave. Sorry.
All the students need to become official couples, and to become a quote-unquote official couple, you need to kiss in front of the principal, I think. The official principal, I think, is the exact line they use. I don't know as if there were an unofficial principal of the school, but to be recognized, you need to kiss in front of an official.
Okay, and well, actually, Bobby won on that. That line worked a lot better if it was girl, and it's like, come with me if you want to leave.
But basically, the plan goes off relatively without a hitch, except for there's 9 students, I think, that who are the main cast, basically, who aren't paired up with anybody. And it's like, hey, you 9 are, well, get your shit together or you're gonna die.
Well, so
there's 5 guys and 4 girls.
Okay, that was gonna be my question.
Yeah, there's 5 guys, 4 girls. I was trying to remember which gender had 5, but it's guys. But
someone's
yeah,
getting pig roasted.
There's a wide variety of crazy character types. Like, I'm pretty sure every single one of these people in the main cast would be diagnosed to be have some horrible, serious psychological condition.
Well, I mean, they are Japanese high school students.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
That should be a psychological condition unto itself. In North America, we should start diagnosing people with Japanese high school student.
Yeah, like, can you just imagine, just like a prime minister, just like a psychologist comes in, it's like, bam, it's like, sir, ma'am, I'm afraid your daughter has Japanese high school student. Oh, no! I'm afraid the only cure. Yeah, what would be the cure for Japanese high school student?
I don't think there is a cure. Unless you actually create an evil force for them to defeat.
Yeah, like, would you just, like, drop them on an island to fill it with, like, crazy people and just have them go? Would you just make Battle Royale?
It'd be the only way.
Yeah, exactly. Battle Royale solves everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so what's the series called again?
Bright World Project.
Okay, I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, it's basically, in order to combat declining birth rates, Japan has forced their youth into relationships with each other under threat of death.
Yeah. I wish I'd gone to that high school, actually. Would have made high school a little bit less unbearable.
Well, yeah, it's funny, it's weird. It is everything you could want out of a manga.
Yes, just with that group, well, actually, with the entire project, is polygamy a thing? Because
I don't think so.
You're just like looking at that. Look at that grouping. One of those kids gonna die.
Yes, they make note of that at the end.
Or
of
one
the
of them gets a free pass. I mean, you can't blame them for not having a woman if there's no women available. Or maybe they'll be forced to pair up with a teacher. Young single teacher.
Yeah, I mean, with the track record of anime high school teachers.
Yeah, there's bound to be a Christmas cake somewhere. For the record, I suppose I should elaborate on what that term is.
Yes, you should.
People may not get that. Basically, in Japan, and I believe in most Eastern societies, there's Eastern cultures, a woman is considered to be old for marrying age after basically she hits her 30s. So if you're over 30, you've passed the prime marrying age, and the sort of thing is with the Western thing, and if you've ever had a Christmas cake, they never go bad, and they just sit around forever by themselves and left alone. And that's basically the idea, is that once you hit that threshold,
you just alone forever?
Yeah, I've pulled up the TV Tropes article, which does a lot better job at it. But buying a cake for Christmas is a Japanese tradition. Unfortunately, no matter how tasty a cake is, no one wants it after December 25th, and no matter how attractive a woman is, it is said, no Japanese male will want to marry her after she's 25. Thus, Christmas cake is used as a metaphor term for what Western audiences might call an old maid. It's a common trope for a character to at least be surprised that another isn't married yet by this age. Even when the writers are sympathetic to the character, nagging to marry will still come from somebody, usually your parents. And
okay, that makes sense now.
Yes. But yeah,
how do you know she's a Christmas cake? How do you know she's not like a like fresh-faced, like newly graduated teacher who's like below the prime age, like by a few years, and is still like good territory, but then they're just like, fuck it, go.
Because they're always a Christmas cake. Without fail.
No, I've read a couple things where the teachers were not Christmas cakes.
Often, if you get a teacher who's hitting on students, they're a Christmas cake.
If there's a teacher who is in any way, that's in any way possible to have, if it's even hinted at that there will be some sort of relationship at all between the student and the teacher, it's a Christmas cake.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay.
That's what a Christmas cake is, folks. Sorry for using random terminology that I learned from reading too much TV Tropes.
The more you know.
Yeah. But anyway, that's it for me.
Okay, so Bubby-Wan, what have you been reading or watching?
All right, well, let's start off with I finished off When They Cry.
Oh. Did it stay awesome throughout? I haven't finished it yet. I've only seen a few of the arcs.
Yes, it did. I still want to talk about it, but I can't, because I will spoil the shit out of it.
Who gives a fuck?
As long as you don't give a fuck, I will continue.
Okay, I don't care. So, like here's something. I'm gonna take a guess about something.
Yeah.
People die a lot.
Oh my god, you're right.
Okay, I'm good. I know what I need to know. So let's move on. So last couple arcs in Higurashi.
Okay, so I watched like a good half after the last one, but so there were a few arcs in there that were related. I already mentioned that. One was just a completely, you know, the second arc. One is just a different perspective of that arc.
What?
Yeah, because actually, fairly around the middle of that arc, the twins switch places, and one of them's what would it be? Mion's tied up in the basement, and Shion is acting as Mion. And Shion. She's acting as both of them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. That's... Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of later reveals about previous plot arcs happen. The big one comes at the end. So, at the end, this time...
Everyone out there, just put a book on your head and bang it with something until this is over. If you don't want to hear it.
Yeah, well, I already mentioned I'm spoiling the shit out of it. In the last one, Satoko is the one to start to become paranoid and go crazy. And then a couple of things are revealed to us. What's that one kid's name? Fuck. The little blue hair girl.
I have no idea, but who's Satoko again?
Hey, it's not Satoko, it's Rena. It's Rena. I got two mixed up. It's Rena who goes crazy.
Isn't Satoko like the brother they always mention who like was there before?
She's the younger blonde haired girl.
Oh, okay.
And fuck, I really want to remember the blue haired girl's name because she's very, very important to this story. Because all of these are basically parallel universes, and she's aware of them. Well, we're actually... Sorry, no, it's not parallel universes. It's Groundhog Day. It's a time loop.
Okay. Oh yeah, because it all takes place over the same day, the festival.
And she remembers. She remembers every single version. And then, during this one, when Keiichi is trying to figure out why Rena is acting so fucking paranoid, he remembers... He remembers the first arc. Only he remembers a little detail that was left out. When he thought he was being pinned down and that they were going to inject him with a needle, all they had was a marker. They were trying to help him and stop him from being paranoid. There was absolutely no threat to his life. He just went crazy.
Oh wow, that is excellent.
He killed them for no reason. And every single person who's thought there's been a conspiracy or a curse has been wrong. There's been no conspiracy. There's been no curse. These people have just been going crazy and murdering each other.
Because of the time loop?
Yes, there is a type of curse, and it's the time loop, which doesn't actually get thoroughly explained.
Okay, well, that's good. Like, if they had explained it, it probably would have been worse for it.
But yeah, so then...
But anyway, the blue-haired girl, I'm pretty sure his name is Rika.
Rika, yes. She tells Keiichi to try and break the loop, which he technically does. The last arc actually ends without anybody dying.
Wow, that's... Wow.
And then all we're left with is in the next arc. It's happening again. It is at the end of the episode, it shows the same events happening again, only Rika is in Keiichi's position from the first arc. But she knows everything. She's like, I'll just play along.
Just
yeah, I thought it was ended brilliantly.
Okay, yeah, man, I need to get back into that series, man. I really want to.
And, like, the reveal that all the people were just fucking crazy was great. How the time loop was kept vague was great. Oh, also, there's something else I have to mention about the final arc. Is, two people die in it that aren't part of the whole paranoia thing. And, like, really nonchalantly, in one of the happiest moments in the entire series, all of the friends agree to help Rena hide the bodies. Like, and they're happy, they're smiles, they all do the putting your hands in thing. It's an adorable scene about hiding corpses. Sitting here laughing my ass off. Like, you're talking about hiding the bodies, and you're all smiling and talking about friendship. This is what friends do for each other. Okay.
Yeah.
But naughty, naughty, Rena. You should have talked to us before murdering these people.
Yeah.
Also worth noting, one of the people Rena murders is Satoko's uncle, and she never says anything about that. I mean, she hates her uncle, but she doesn't even say, hey, this guy you chopped into pieces, that's my uncle.
Yeah. I need to get back in that series, and also there are actually three other follow-up series to that.
I'm aware, and I'm going to be watching them at some point.
Yeah, I just put out there for if you want to know. It's Higurashi no Nakakoto ni Kai, which is this follow-up TV series. Then there is two OVAs, well, two OVA things, I guess. Higurashi no Nakakoto ni Rei and Kira. So yeah, and just looking up this stuff, there's also a. So these things are like based off of a series of like light novel games.
Okay.
And there's a follow-up to these games called Higurashi Daybreak, which is a third-person shooter.
Huh.
Yeah. And you're playing as all the same characters, like Keiichi Mion, Reika Satoko, Rika, they're all in it. But it's a third-person shooter.
Why would it be a shooter?
I don't know. Like, so the game is the game's a 2v2 third-person shooter based on the system of Gundam Mobile Suit Gundam Versus series. As we, the four players, take control of humans or controlled by robots. You can choose between different weapons. There's stamina gauges and everything. And yeah, so there are a bunch of teams. There's a protagonist team, which is Keiichi and Reina. There's a twin sisters team, which is Mion and Shion. Chibiko team, which is Rika and Satoko. Lovers team, which is Jiro and Mio. The cop team, which is that cop that's in everything, and some guy named Mamoru Akasaka. Yeah. And there are also expansion packs that change up the teams. God, I want to play this game now. It was released on the PSP. What?
All right, yeah, I need to play this game. I don't have a PSP, but I need to find a way to play this game.
Well, it's also on PC. Yeah, it was developed for PC, then ported over to the PSP. It was released in 2006. Dear Lord. Kiyasu Higurashi.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I am definitely going to be getting into this series again. Anywho. Watch anything else?
Didn't watch. I read a couple chapters of Saint Young Men.
Finally getting on the train.
Yeah, finally. I freaking love it.
Yeah, it's what's not to love, dude. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what to say about the series that we haven't said already.
It's awesome. Moving on.
Sorry, one thing. I fucking love how in the first chapter, Jesus is like, there's these high school girls, and they said I looked like Johnny Depp, and blah, 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 blah. Buddha's like, hey, some people said I look like Buddha.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
So, yeah, I found that kind of funny. But, yeah, otherwise, you know, it's Saint Young Men. It's Jesus and Buddha.
Yeah.
As the odd couple.
Yeah, I actually kind of want that to be a... I kind of want, like, a CBS version of that or something where we just have, like, a commercial. It's like one of them's a leader of the... One of them has reached enlightenment or some bullshit. The other one's like, the other one died for our sins. This summer, Jesus and Buddha move in together in Saint Young Men. I just want, like, a really schmaltzy commercial for, like, a sitcom with Buddha and Jesus in it. Someone out there satisfy my sick wish.
Maybe once the anime comes out, we'll see. I might be able to edit something together.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay, and actually before we move on to news, I want to talk about the most recent chapter of Bleach.
Oh, yeah, that.
Because we learned that Ichigo has some familiar connection to the Quincy's.
Well...
Because, you know, he's everything else, so why not a Quincy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually read, it was a thing on, I believe, Japanator, where they said, like, all he needs to do now is, like, learn that he's, like, descended from Monkey D. Luffy and is actually a member of the Uzumaki clan. That's why he has orange hair. Because, yeah, fuck, like, this series has been going on forever now, and... Is this arc finally going to, like, answer the question of what the fuck Ichigo is?
He's everything.
That is a question I'd like the answer to, because, like, when he used his final form against Aizen, that was fucking intensely powerful.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the final Getsuga Tensho.
Yeah, but that's the only thing, like, Are Zanpakuto abilities transferred, like, down familial lines? Because his dad has Getenshua too.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing that's something special to the family.
Oh, yeah, so, like, Ichigo, he can turn... Yeah, it's like the Hollow Mask, which I haven't seen in a while, which sucks because I kind of like the Hollow Mask.
Well, yes, he hasn't gone Vizard again after losing his powers.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, he's Vizard. He's the fucking soul. He's a Shinigami, which I guess one of the most powerful ones or something. He's now tied to the Quincy's somehow. Like, isn't it through his mom? Like, wasn't, like, didn't,
yeah, the suggestion is that his mom was a Quincy.
Yeah, which may shine new light on her death.
Yes.
Like, maybe it wasn't just a random hollow attack. Maybe the guys in charge, they actually sent a hollow after his mom. Yeah, this is turning into a thing. I really hope they start answering these questions. And also, what happened to his mom's soul? Like, did the Hollow eat the soul? Is that what happens? Did Kingfisher eat his mom's soul?
I'm guessing so. Sure. She would have ended up as a Hollow, and then hopefully ended up exterminated as a Hollow, and then her soul would be free.
Yeah, that's all I'm wondering about. Like, I'm wondering is his mom, like, we're going to meet his mom later on. Like, is she going to be, like, some hidden Arrancar that just kind of happened naturally? Is she going to be a Hollow? Is she going to be in one of the districts of the Sarutei? Like, what? Just imagine if his mom was actually an Arrancar. That would be, yeah... Or his mom was a Hollow. That'd be weird. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up because it's It's one of the most interesting things we've seen recently in Bleach. Anyway, on to news. Yeah, so Punchatron spoiled it earlier in the show, but the 25th volume of Kodansha's Good Afternoon magazine revealed that a anime has been greenlit for Witchcraft Works. We don't have any details on staff or casting or anything else. We just know it got greenlit, so we're going to be getting one of those soon. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on to next week's news. So, the December issue of Monthly Shonen Jump announced that Renmaru Kotone, who worked on Blood Sea, would be making a manga adaptation of Noriko Ogiwara's late novel series, RDG Red Data Girl. So, the story of the light novels revolves around Izumiko Suzuhara, who was born and was raised in a shrine until middle school when she was let into the world to go to Tokyo with her high school, to go to high school with her childhood friend in Tokyo. And then, while in high school, something known as the Himegami appeared and something happened. And it turns out Izumiko's family is cursed. The manga is it out now? Like, has it been released? Has it begun a serialization, or is it going to be happening later?
I am honestly not sure. I can make a quick check of that, but okay. I don't think it has.
Okay. But I said the manga is either out or is going to be coming out soon, and apparently there's also an anime in the works.
Hooray!
Yay!
Yay, a manga for something I've never heard of. But anyway, we're going to the next piece of news. So, Hayao Miyazaki, the guy behind Studio Ghibli, essentially, has been awarded with Japan's Person of Cultural Merit Award. This is an award given out every November to individuals who contributed to Japanese culture for many years. With the highest order, the Order of Cultural Merit, getting directed by the Emperor himself at the Imperial Palace. And so, this year's Order of Cultural Merit recipients included, obviously Hayao Miyazaki, and a Nobel Prize winner, for physiology or medicine. So yeah, the guy who made Ponyo got the same medal as a guy who won a Nobel Prize.
That seems totally fair.
Oh, yeah, totally. And in a similar vein to that news story, Tetsuya Chiba, who's the guy who made Ashita no Joe and Motari Matsutaru, has been announced that he's being inducted into the Order of the Rising Sun, Golden Rays, and Rosette Awards.
That's a single award.
Yeah, it's one award.
That's one award.
Yeah, that's... Not very many awards have commas and ands in them.
Yeah, Order of the Golden Sun, Golden Rays, and Rosette.
Rising Sun, Gold Rays, and Rosette.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what I said.
You said Golden Sun.
What are you talking about?
Rewind the tape.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Yeah, a bunch of mangaka got, a bunch of mangaka and film animators got awesome awards and shit. So moving on to the next piece of news. Kenji Hidasawa, who's been doing a manga called Underlife, which has been running in Monthly Shonen Champion, is going to be adapting the Universal Pictures film Dreamhouse into a manga. And this manga is going to be released under the name Underlife Special Act Dreamhouse Volume. That's also going to be running in the same Shonen Champion magazine. So the film, which came out in 2011, starred Dale Craig, Naomi Watts, and Rachel Weisz. It revolved around Will and his wife Libby and their two daughters moving into a house, and then Will discovers that 5 years before they moved in, a mother and her two daughters were brutally murdered in that house. So yeah,
it's a wacky screwball comedy.
Yes. Rated PG-13. co-starring Rob Schneider. Anyway, yeah. So the Hirosawa's manga version of the film is gonna be releasing in the December issue of Shonen Champion, which goes on sale on Tuesday, or went on sale on Tuesday when the story got posted. Yes, it went on sale on Tuesday. Yeah, so it's gonna be combining the events that happened in Dream House with Hirosawa's own experiences, because he lived in a one bedroom house with a garden and thought it was haunted. Yeah, apparently Hirosawa, that he once saw an old man with only half of his face and a female high school student with short hair and blood dripping from her eyes in that apartment. Or house, I guess.
Yeah, that was... Sure,
that's
that was
normal.
A part of...
Everything in Japan is freakily haunted.
Yeah, that totally... That totally actually happened, and it wasn't just drugs. Or just the mental break of realizing that he is a... Or the just mental break of him being a mangaka. Those people, that happens to a lot of people in Japan, right? They, like mangaka, they just have mental breaks every once in a while. It's just like every Saturday. So wake up, have some coffee, mental breakdown, then do your laundry. Anywho, moving on. So, Kadokayo Hitman Reborn is going to be ending on Monday. Yeah, so...
Aww.
So Akira Amano's, Reborn manga. It's going to be ending in the 50th issue of Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump. So also the 41st volume of the compiled book will be released on December 4th, with the 42nd and final volume following in March. And Weekly Shonen Jump is asking its readers to look forward to Amano's next work.
Whether that means it's already in the process of being approved or whatever, we don't know. But
yeah,
you know, it could be, maybe.
Yeah,
it's probably not. Don't get your hopes up.
Yeah. So Fabi's news, and this is another manga ending. So Hiroshi Ueda confirmed this Tuesday that he would be ending Full Metal Panic Sigma in the series' 19th volume. So this is a spin-off of Full Metal Panic. And yeah, I haven't actually read this one.
Well, it's... I'm pretty sure it's the sort of manga serialization of the second raid that was made into the anime. The third season of the anime.
Yeah, it says in this article that happened.
So, very good anime. You should all go out and watch it anyway, regardless. Because it's good. It's good.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's going to be ending with the 19th volume. I've read some, like, vanilla-ass Full Metal Sigma, and it was pretty good. But I haven't read Sigma. Or seen any Sigma. But anywho, that is it for news. Now it's on to Anime Club!
Yay!
Yeah, so, Bobby-Wan, this was your pick this week. Why don't you tell the folks at home what we watched?
We watched Vice Schwarz.
We didn't.
Vice Survive. I keep saying the card game instead of the anime, and the anime instead of the card game. I was doing this before, too.
Yeah. So, what is Vice Survive?
Vice Survive is an anime that is meant to introduce new players to the card game Vice Schwarz, which
bullshit it is.
It fails horribly at doing so, and creates one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I have no idea how to play this game at all.
Of course you don't.
Mainly because they 62 times fast forward through the part where he explains how to play the game.
I could easily help explain it to you. It's a lot like Cardfight Vanguard.
Okay. That explains a lot, actually.
Yeah, like, it's even that's a better explanation that you get in this show of how to play the game.
Yeah, so the show is 16 episodes long, right?
Yeah, and they're each about 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2.5 minutes. And yeah, I like from what Bobby wants to tell you about the game is like why Schwartz is played with decks made up of anime characters.
Yes.
But watching the show, each person's deck seems to be comprised of mostly themselves and one card from an anime. Like at one point, like the main character summons the protagonist from Persona 4. And he doesn't even summon Izanagi. Like what? No.
Well, normal people can't see the personas.
By the way, Persona 4 is a deck you can have.
Yeah, but he never breaks a card. Like, even if he can't see the personas, they should still be able to see the card. And he still needs to say Persona. He's like, push up his glasses, have them like flash, and then he says Persona, and then a persona shows up. But here's a weird thing. Like when they play the cards, they never actually have the person, they never actually have that card like show up on the field. It's always the character who played the card dressed up as that character. Which makes it really weird because the main guy summons the protagonist, but ends up looking like Yosuke. Which, for those who know the game or the anime, you know that it's kind of weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting choices made with Vice Survive.
Interesting is one word for it.
Yeah, what did you guys think of it?
I'm not even sure if I can classify this as a card game show.
They don't play the game very much.
Yeah, like, the point of card game shows is to, like, introduce people to the game. And, like, I've been doing a breakdown of this, like, since I started watching it. And here are kind of the three things that I've come to realize about card game shows that everyone else has already realized, probably. Card game shows exist to introduce people to the game, give them a very basic understanding of the rules of the game, and show them cards for them to buy.
On that note, the best card game show is Card Fight Vanguard.
Oh yeah, like as good as card game shows can get, Card Fight Vanguard is fucking awesome. But Why Survive?
Saying by that criteria as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it introduces you to the game, shows you how the game is played really well, and then shows you all cards. Like, all the cards in the game, all the cards in the show can be, like, got in the game. Like, in real life.
Oh, so, yeah, sorry, I'm going to add one more criteria for card game shows. They make the game look cooler than it really is.
Yes.
Every time.
Yeah, mainly because of either group hallucinations or science. Or magic.
That and people just getting into it. I mean, how often do we, like, play Magic the Gathering and start yelling at each other?
Never.
Like, I play a Plains. I tap.
It's not even that. Not even that.
Elgon Inquisitor.
It's like, not even that. It's like, Plains, Elgon Inquisitor. Go. Yeah, we are just bored as fuck playing that game, but it's still fun. We just sound really detached from it all.
Because you don't need to be yelling at each other to enjoy a card game. But anyways, yeah. I digress. I allow you to get back under your track.
But yeah, so with all those criteria, Card Fight Vanguard, it meets one of those criteria. It introduces you to the game. That's it.
You mean Vice Survive? You said Card Fight Vanguard.
Yeah, Vice Survive. Yeah, I got Vanguard on the brain, okay?
It's because you really want to play that game, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's a card shop, like, in Peterborough, which is a town close to mine, that sells Card Fight Vanguard decks. But anyway.
Sweet.
Yeah, so Why Survive? It's just... So, of those four criteria that we just laid out, one, introducing the game. It says why Schwartz exists, so yes. Two, so it gives you a basic understanding of the rules of the game. No.
Not at all.
Yeah, so here's the basic explanation they give. Fast forward, then like this, like this, like that, like that. play. That's it.
Well, they can't just hand it to you on a plate. You have to learn by doing.
I have the only thing
observing.
The only thing I know about that game is if a player reaches level 4, they lose.
And in all fairness, I told you that before you watched the show.
I don't remember that.
Because I play Weiss Force.
Yeah, it's yeah. They like do a horrible job of explaining the show, and yeah. Well, so anyway, third thing, it shows you cards that they want you to buy. Shows like five cards.
Those aren't most of those aren't real cards in
Most of them are just hey, you know the character who's fighting. Here's him in a different costume. And.
You know what's a much better anime for advertising Weiss Schwarz cards? It's every other fucking anime, because those are the ones with the characters that you buy the decks of. Fairy Tail, wonderful advertisement for Weiss Schwarz. Persona 4, Bakemonogatari, these are all wonderful advertisements for Weiss Schwarz.
Yeah.
Weiss Survive? Not really.
Yeah. Does Cradle of Monsters have an anime? Because if it does, just imagine the Cradle of Monsters deck.
Oh, God.
Just every card has something horrible on it. God. Anyway, and yeah, so then fourth thing to make the fight look awesome. Half the time, you don't actually see the fight.
No, you just see explosions.
Yeah, and sometimes not even that. Like, I remember in the, like, one of the episodes, the basic premise of the show is there's two characters, Takeshi and Michi. Takeshi is like a horrible student, and Michi is his childhood friend, and also the number one beauty in the school, because it's anime.
Oh yeah, you gotta be friends with the most attractive person in school.
Yeah. So anyway, then she accidentally reveals that she is really into Weiss Schwarz, and then all of a sudden, her deck goes flying into the air and creates a giant portal that then sucks both of them into it, into some weird nether plane with three doors in it. So they open up one of the doors, and there's an old man in there saying, hey, welcome to the Weiss Schwarz Battle Arena.
No, it's the Weiss Schwarz Battle Zone!
Is it zone or stage? I thought it was stage.
I was pretty sure it was zone.
It's something really stupid. But anyway, he just pulls out a couple fans, just like whips about every time he says it, and then like gets the background. Like even when the stage changes and the name of it changes, his animation doesn't change.
Yeah, they reuse that animation at least 4 times.
Yeah, so anyway, he goes in there, and then Michi's also there. And he says, hey, guess what? You gotta learn how to play this game and beat people if you want to leave. And so then he does one fight and loses horribly. And then he goes to this really weird training where he gets whipped and carries barrels and, like, chases something. Like, there are explosions. And then he has another match and then just cuts the end of it where he won. Somehow.
Yes, and don't forget to mention that being whipped and all that. He is being whipped by, alternatively, the old man and then Michi. And then I think the old man again in S&M gear.
Yeah.
The same S&M gear.
Yeah, they both, like, Michi borrows the old man's S&M gear. Yeah, the show. I don't know what I feel about this show.
That's a really good way to describe it.
Like, it's a really, like, for a card game show, it's horrible.
Oh yeah, it fails as a card game show, but
like, it doesn't make me want to play the game.
I don't think that was their goal.
Then why did they get the point of like actually getting? I'm guessing they had to get permission from the Weiss Schwarz people to be able to do this.
Well, I'm guessing their idea for promoting the game was this: we'll just make it seem so fucking strange that you'll have to look into it. And well, honestly, to some level, it works. Because, like, do you know how many people in the anime club that I first watched this with now play Weiss Schwarz?
Yeah, I have no idea, but...
This is so fucking weird.
Yeah,
I have
really
to figure it out.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, but yeah, I don't even. Like, yeah, as a card show horror, it's kind of horrible. But as an experience, like as just an anime experience, it's an experience.
It's fun yet horrifying.
Yeah. Like half the time I had no idea what the hell anyone was talking about. I have no idea, like, any character motivations. I barely have an idea of characters.
And in case you're wondering, I know the rules of the game, and it didn't help me at all.
Yeah, like, going into someone who knows nothing about White Schwartz other than it's a card game with anime characters, this show told me nothing, except for the fact that it has only, like, 3 or 4 anime characters.
Which is not true. Every single thing you summon is an anime character. Basically, the actual card game is really cool. You just get this anime versus this anime. Go.
Yeah. Yo, Pudge, you've been awfully quiet. What have you been thinking? What do you think of the show?
Well, due to extenuating student-related circumstances, I really got to see the first episode.
See, it's not 2 minutes of the show.
Yeah, so from what you said, I can probably relatively accurately state that it's, you know, as much of an introduction to Weiss Schwartz as Carnival Phantasm is to the Fate Stay Night universe.
Obi-Wan?
That is a very good comparison.
Okay, yeah, it's... I can't figure out whether I recommend this show or not. Because, like I said, each episode is only 2 minutes, so you can pretty much watch the entire series in the amount of time it would take to watch the first episode of another anime and the first couple minutes of the next episode.
Yeah, it's all in all, it's gonna eat up about a half hour of your life.
Yeah, it's all available on YouTube. That's where I watched it.
I actually downloaded it. Now, there's also a sequel series that I didn't bother with called Vice Survive R.
Okay. Do they just go like the Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D route and just turn it into a racing show with card game on it?
Well, I did watch the first episode of it. And basically, the old man shows up and tells them that their memories have been erased. And that's it, because it's like a 2-minute show. But at the beginning, they're playing Vice Schwartz.
Okay, is it still on Takeshi and Michi?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I got 13 episodes in. I got to the point where Michi turns into a devil robot. Or something.
Okay, I'm not worried about spoiling this series for you. Basically, he wins, they go back, but their memories are gone, and they start playing Vice Schwartz.
I knew he would win. I mean, he's a protagonist. This isn't Cardfight Vanguard, okay? And every other game, in every card game show that isn't Cardfight Vanguard, the protagonist is always amazing and never loses. Yeah, another thing I really like about Cardfight Vanguard.
Except Yu-Gi-Oh, that one episode where he purposely loses to Joey so that Joey doesn't die. I mean.
But yeah, he purposefully loses. Like, the thing I really like about Cardfight Vanguard, because I'm still on this, because Cardfight Vanguard is fucking awesome. But the thing I like about it is, even though the main character, everyone acknowledges that he's fucking awesome at the game. He is, like, he has the potential to be one of the best players in the world, and he's, like, scary how good he can be at this game. But he's not that good yet. He's still a newbie. He's still horrible at the game and loses pretty much every match he fights in.
We still see him lose a good number of matches, except playing against the guy who loses against everybody.
Yeah, because he's the guy who loses against everybody. Because he's horrible. It's like he has like 2 grade 1, 2 grade 2, like 1 grade 0, and the rest are just grade 3s. But yeah, like everyone recognizes that this kid has the potential to be one of the best players. But he's still new, so he doesn't know this yet, so he just keeps losing over and over again. And that's one thing I like about it. Because even though this kid is the main character, and he's awesome into everything, he's still new to this game. He still just picked it up for the first time like a week ago.
Yeah, you don't see me cleaning house at local magic tournaments.
Yeah. I'm usually whooping his ass, and I'm horrible.
Although I did rebuild that one deck and built a new really awesome white-blue deck, so we'll see how Friday goes.
Yeah, we'll see how Friday goes. Join us at twitch.tv/deathgoprods. 9 p.m. Eastern. But anyway, it's... Yeah, I'm going to recommend this show.
For nothing else, for the insanity of it.
Yeah, for the experience. Like, it's not exactly anything deep. It's not exactly going to be, like, one of your favorite anime ever. But it's something you're going to remember.
Victory.
That was an accident.
Yes, it was. And it scared, and it scared me a bit.
Like, what the fuck is that? What the fuck are you talking about?
Is that going to be like the news? Is that going to be like the news thing? Like, anytime we just say, like, recommend or non-recommend, it's going to be victory or failure?
That could be the new thing.
Victory.
Yeah, so I tentatively recommend this show to people. Like, it's not going to exactly get you deeper invested into the characters or anything, but if you have a half an hour to kill, you could do something worse. You could like watch an episode of AKB0048.
Oh God.
But yeah, Bobiwan. Yep. What say you on this show? Recommend or not?
Victory.
Okay. Bobiwan has now been replaced with laughing at a soundboard.
Okay, no. Seriously, I do recommend the show once again, just for the experience of it, just for the insanity of it. It's not a good card fight or card game anime, and it's not necessarily a great show. But yeah, it's random and hilarious, and you'll probably...
Yeah. You're not going to see anything else like it. Agree? Yeah. Like, you're probably not going to see anything else like it. We have Punchatron based on the 2 minutes you watched.
It didn't really go much of anywhere. There was next to no character development. I just like this show.
Hit the failure button.
Failure.
I'm so glad we have that now.
Yeah, and it's no longer like on my screen, so I have to move around screens. It's just my F buttons.
Yeah, I don't have... Like, I can actually just say, hit the whatever button, and we'll have something for it. Like, hit the deliner button.
Oh.
Hit the tough guy button!
Oh, yeah!
Okay, so we have a soundboard now. Hooray!
I'm sorry, I just kind of giddy. Like, I got a bunch of awesome news today. I got this. I'm squeeing on the inside. Anyway. Yeah, so Why Survive? It's not really good, but it's worth the experience. And yeah, sorry we didn't do a anime club supplement this week, because, like I said, the show's 2 minutes long, and if we watched the entire series, then we would have gone through everything that we just went through.
Yeah, that would have been repetitive.
Yeah. And a lot of it would have just like, what the fuck is going on?
Much like our commentary for Drawn Together Movie the Movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho. Yeah, that's going to do it for this week's Anime Club. I'm the one who picks next, right? Right?
Yes?
Yeah, because Pudge picked this Kamen no Maid guy, then you picked this, and then now it's my turn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so for my pick, we're going to be watching the anime adaptation of Dead Man Wonderland. Yeah, I fucking love the manga. And unfortunately, like, release has slowed drastically recently. So I've kind of fallen off of it. But yeah, I want to check out the anime. I want to check out the anime adaptation of this series. So yeah, and for that, one, we will be having Anime Club Supplement next week. Or I guess next episode.
Yes.
Yes, because that's in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah. Yeah, next week we're doing comics and movies.
Yay, and comics and movies. I have both read comics and watched movies.
Yes, as have I. And we also have a bunch of comic and movie news. So anyway, thank you all for joining us for this week, and that's going to do it for this week. As always, you can follow the site on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds, and we have at MobiWan, and Budgetron is still holding out in his anti-Twitter campaign. you can follow it on Twitter at anti-Twitter.
Yeah, just track that down and start following me there.
Yes. Yeah, so, and you can always like us on Facebook at facebook.com/DeathStoreProds, and you can subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/DeathStoreProdsVids for myself and James, and youtube.com/BobbyWan for BobbyWan and people that BobbyWan does stuff with.
What? People?
You've done stuff with Ninja Kitty.
Oh, that's true.
And Kaz, I think. Didn't you? Once? Yeah. Oh, no, that's on my channel.
No, Kaz is on an episode on my channel.
Okay. Yeah, so subscribe to us, please. Please, I only have 10 subscribers. Please, I'm lonely. My only friends on YouTube are the spam bots.
Goddamn spam bots.
So many of them. Anyway, yeah, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some reviews. Let us know you want to see more of, less of, etc. I guess you're going to want to see less of all of this. Anyway, so for this week, we have coming up either earlier, it came out earlier today, or it'll come out sometime this week, we have Aimless Wanderings. Pudge.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
It'll happen.
Eventually, like, oh my god.
And maybe Lead Again, but, you know, it's extenuating student-related circumstances. And yeah.
We have shit to do and we don't get paid.
Yeah. It'll be done.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, and so this Friday we're going to be having part of TV Movie Month. We're going to be watching the Drawn Together movie, The Movie. Because that's. Then, on Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern at allgames.com, we're going to be having the Anything Cast live. Please join us at allgames.com/chat and let us know what you think about what we've been doing on the site, what you think about like our shows or anything, really. We'd love to hear from you guys. Then, Wednesday, we're going to be having the Comic Book Podcast, and Wednesday or Thursday or that week, we're going to be having a Personal Issues. I'm sorry I didn't get it, went out last week, but I'm going to be getting it out next week. It's going to be about Grim Fairy Tales. So, yeah.
Don't forget, there will be a new fanfic grab bag next week at some point.
And fanfic grab bag, yes. I keep forgetting about Bobiwan's thing because it's updates at very weird intervals and is also just a podcast thing. Yeah, I guess he's too good to go into. I guess he's too good to do any writing. Well, I'd never.
It wasn't my idea to do this. I was like, I should have some sort of bi-weekly feature. Odysseus was like, you should read fan fiction.
You could have reviewed fan fiction.
Psh.
You know, like do a review with dramatic reading and commentary. Anyway. Yeah, and then on Friday we're behind the movies podcast. As well as the commentary track for Serenity. Also part of TV Movie Month. But until all of that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Bobiwan.
And I'm Petrov.
We will see you guys next time. Quack.